Let's turn now to Israel's neighbor, where a civil war is raging. After a string of defeats, Syria's rebel fighters managed to claim a rare victory last month. They gained control of a large part of the southern city of Deraa, where the revolt against the Assad regime began more than 2 years ago. Now that city is a major battlefront. Rebels say their gains are in jeopardy unless they get more weapons pledged by their U.S. and Arab backers. NPR's Deborah Amos met with some of them.
The rebel commander agrees to meet us at a rehab hospital in Jordan. The cost of the fight in southern Syria shows on the grim faces of rebels in wheelchairs and on crutches, some bedridden for life. The commander, defected Army Colonel Mohammed Ahdeni, says rebels now have an organized military council in Deraa, which may explain the first rebel victory in months.
It's an incremental liberation effort. One checkpoint is liberated, then another, then another.
When rebels recaptured what's left of an 8th century mosque in Deraa, he snapped a cell phone picture. In March 2011, the mosque was the gathering point for the first political protest against the Assad regime.
That's the Omari Mosque. That's where the revolution began.
Eighteen tank shells destroyed it.
Now in Jordan, he wants heavy weapons to counter the regime's tanks. He says Saudi Arabia has been covertly arming rebels for months, but now, he says, Americans have the final say on who gets the weapons here, insisting the arms go only to moderate rebel groups, as opposed to Islamist brigades.
They simply don't trust us at the moment. And the problem is that we are now frustrated by the fact that we have no guaranteed source of ammunition.
Many commanders say they're frustrated, too, with the heavy vetting by U.S. intelligence agents and a Saudi arms pipeline that is undependable. The military aid promised by President Obama in June has not arrived at all, they say.
We're very disappointed in what's happening.
That's Ahmed Naimi, a former Air Force officer who now heads a rebel military council. He and other commanders say the U.S. and its allies have been assisting with training and intelligence sharing. Some non-lethal aid arrived 2 months ago.
Yes, we did receive logistics support in terms of bulletproof vests and night vision goggles and secure communication devices.
But to even get non-lethal gear, rebel fighters have to prove they're not Islamists. Every battle must be documented for U.S. agents at an operation room in Jordan, says Naimi.
Yes, we have been having people state on video that they've been receiving this logistical support.
But he says it's not enough to change the dynamics against Syria's national army in Deraa, especially with the recent reinforcements from Iran and the Shiite Lebanese militia Hezbollah. Rebels have pleaded with the U.S. and international backers to open up the arms pipeline through Jordan and send anti-tank and anti-aircraft weapons soon.
We do have communication with the Americans. They are our friends and allies. We just hope to get something proper from them. Why the delay?
In June, rebels blew up two high-rise buildings that flanked an army post in Deraa and claimed that the whole city was close to falling. Activists posted a video of the fight. But now the gains are in doubt, says Denny, after his failed mission to get resupplied in Jordan.
Liberate Deraa? Look, we are not receiving the weapons we need or the ammunition that we need.
With the rebels losing ground across Syria, in Qusair on the border with Lebanon, and in the central city of Homs, the outcome in southern Syria is crucial. Syria's political opposition has rejected negotiations sponsored by the U.S. and Russia until the rebels are stronger on the ground. We are waiting to see if the American promise of arms is more than just words, says Denny.
It's also our bad luck that this has come after Afghanistan and after Iraq, and therefore now American society is very careful, maybe even too careful.
Too careful for the rebels of Deraa, he says, who fear that the Americans will let them down. Deborah Amos, NPR News.